Thank you, Vic. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Yes, I'm here again. I'll be here for the rest of the week. Nick will be back Sunday night into Monday morning, or you call it Monday night, just Monday morning. Do you leave the Sunday night out? I don't know, but you know what time Nick comes on. Comes on at 2 a.m. So I've been having a lot of fun this week, and this is how I know you've probably, you know the behind-the-scenes workings of this program and most of the programs. The producers are tireless workers for the show. The hosts get all the, we get all the accolades. We bask in the limelight. We get paid the giant dollars. We get people to fan us, feed us grapes during the news. I'm getting pedicure right now. It's phenomenal being the host. The producer is a thankless job because, one, they have to deal with egomaniacal hosts. Two, they have to, work hard. So Dan sends me some stories every day, and he says, hey, what do you think about this? And he's booked some guests, and he says, what do you think about this? And I always say, well, that's fantastic. And he sent me this the other day, and I thought, my goodness, I have never seen a story like this come across my computer screen before. There's never been a talk topic that popped onto my radar, but there was just something where I said, man, we got to do this. Esmeralda, he sent me an article that said 8 world-famous historical hats.
Oh, boy.
I know. And I thought to myself, I don't want to blow this on Monday morning. Because people are, Monday morning's rough. People are trying to wake up. Friday, we had a lot of stuff planned with the regular features and some guests. So I thought, I'm going to hold on to this for just the right time. Today seemed like the right time because yesterday, if you'll remember, we were talking about my upcoming trip to Spain, and I was lamenting the fact that I didn't know what sort of headgear to wear because a baseball cap to me seems too casual and, for a grown man, I wear baseball caps a lot, and I have no problem wearing them here in the United States. I thought if I took a baseball cap overseas, it might not be the best look for me. And then Esmeralda had some thoughts on wardrobe and hats. I went out today. And I bought this cap to go, kind of a jaunty cap, to go with my kilt when I was going to Irish Fest this summer. Because my hair is short, and if I'm going to be out in the sun all day, my head burns, so I need to wear a hat. So I went back to where I got this summery jaunty cap, hoping they would have something a little more fall-ish. So you'll be happy to know, Esmeralda, that I bought myself a cap today, which I think it's got the thumbs up from my wife already. I think it looks pretty good, but my hat game is going to be, as the kids like to say, Dan, on fleek. Are the kids still saying that, Esmeralda?
I think they are.
All right. I don't know. I heard it once and I was like, what the heck does that mean? It's as foreign to me as saying bay, which we learned last night was before anyone else. Who actually says that?
Bay?
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody says bay.
Yeah.
If you're under 30.
I do it jokingly.
Do you?
Yeah.
And that's replaced boo?
Well, I say boo too sometimes.
All right. There's all the... I don't get any of the lingo anymore.
It's all in jest.
You use it ironically.
Yeah.
Other people use it as part of their everyday vocabulary. I see it on a million posts. And until last night, I thought it just meant baby, when your baby does that.
I thought that was what it was at first.
Who educated you? Who set you straight?
I think I looked it up. I used the internet and I looked
it up.
To
look up bay.
I do that a lot.
Well, you try to get the real answer for stuff? What are you looking things up for?
I think when on fleek show, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, on fleek.
Looking it up.
On fleek. I do use those terms ironically because no self-respecting man of my age should be saying anything is on fleek or on point or my hat game is strong. I don't have a hat game. I'm a guy who went looking for something to cover his balding head so he didn't get blisters on there from the Spanish sun. I don't have a game. What is my hat game? My shoe game? My poker game? How many games am I playing? My 3-card Monte radio game. Friday we're going to play a game. My arcade game is strong. Agree or disagree? I don't know. Do you have a game, Dan? Do you have a hat game or belt game?
I'm trying to think. I do try to be selective with the hats I wear. So I guess my hat game would be strong.
You have a hat game. Is it on point?
No.
Is it on fleek?
It's probably not on fleek.
I don't know. How do you know? And can you live without knowing if your hat game is strong and on fleek? I just, because I'm new to the hat game, only a few years ago. You know, a few years ago I discovered, and this is how I got into the hat game. We were going to Puerto Rico a few years ago. And I knew I was going to be out in the sun. And my brother had been to Puerto Rico, and he said, oh, everybody down there wears nice straw fedoras. And I thought, well, that might be fun. And I went on, as Esmeralda does, I went on the internet and looked up straw fedoras. And I found one on clearance for about $10. And I thought, ooh, that looks like it might up my game. So I got it, and it looked pretty good. There's pictures of me in it all over. So I like that hat. And then my wife, this is where it gets you. My wife said, oh, you look good in hats. Just like she told me I look good in bow ties when I was going to your and Eileen's wedding, and now I'm the bow tie guy. Which I found out is, well, I think they're very stylish. It's also a big thing in the gay community is wearing bow ties, which I just found out from a friend of mine who's gay and who told me, oh, yeah, bow ties, that's a big thing. That's why I stopped wearing them. And I was like, oh, okay, why'd you stop wearing them? He goes, I don't like anybody telling me what I have to wear. Said, well, that makes sense. So anyway, to digress, so I like hats. All right, let's get into some of these famous historical hats. Dan yelled at me earlier, Esmeralda, because I didn't bring my jaunty new cap in.
Oh, you should have, or taken a picture of it.
I'll take a picture when I get home. It's not going to matter.
Take a selfie.
Well, sure. A selfie? I love selfies. I am an egomaniac. I'm all about the selfies. No, I'm not. I do take some selfies. Maybe I post a picture. You know what? I'm going to wait, and I'm going to post a picture of me in España wearing the jaunty cap. And then you can say, oh, my, that was quite the choice for his journey. That's now we see that was the way to go.
I can't wait for a week from now when I go to say, hey, hi, Esmeralda, how are you? And she'll be like, did you see Brian in his great hat in España?
In España? España? And you'll say, stop spitting at me, Esmeralda. He's not in Barcelona. He's in Madrid. In España.
And then I'll go, his hat game is strong.
His hat game is strong. That's what I want on my tombstone. Here lies Brian Noonan. His hat game was strong. Strong. All right, let's get into some of these eight famous historical hats. You thought I forgot. I did not. Should we count them down? I don't think it's a countdown to the best. So I was hoping we could count them down, but we'll just start at number one. According to this, hats have been used throughout history to convey meaning, whether it is a status symbol, a political statement, or simply for sartorial style. Guys, do you have a hat game? 312-981-7200. That is the worst call solicitation probably in the history of this station. But I did it because why not? It's 343. Such is the power of a good hat that certain styles have become intrinsically linked with just one famous individual. That's what I need. That's when my hat game goes to another level. Unparalleled hat game. So I need to come up with one hat that is so identified with me that anybody else who wears it, people will go, what are you trying to be, Noonan? I don't know if it's the Dr. Seuss. I don't know if it's a fez. I have a jester hat that I'm fond of, but that doesn't look good on dressy occasions. So we have to come up. And here are some examples. Winston Churchill's Homburg. Winston Churchill was renowned for his hats. Churchill himself once wrote a humorous essay on the subject, remarking that he did not have a distinctive hairstyle, spectacles, or facial hair like other famous statesmen, cartoonists, and photographers of the day. So they focused instead on his love of headgear. He wore a number of styles from top hats to bowlers, but he is probably most famous for his Homburg. It is a felt hat with a curved brim, a dent that runs from front to back, and a grosgrain ribbon that forms a band. It was popularized in Britain by Prince Edward VII. All right, now, that's a good one. Everybody can picture that. You see Churchill. What about Napoleon's bicorn? I'm a fan of the tricorner hat myself from Revolutionary times. And when I was a child, we took a trip to Williamsburg, and we all got tricorner hats. So imagine the fun in the station wagon with five idiots all wearing tricorner hats and little make-believe muskets. Oh, we were quite a fun group. Thankfully, we didn't have to wear knickers, and we didn't get smallpox. But other than that, the trip was a rousing fun. French Emperor Napoleon understood the importance of branding. Sure he did. His hat game was strong. We know that. Throughout his life, he used imagery and clothing to convey power and status. Traditionally, the bicorn, with its distinctive deep gutter and two pointed corners, was worn with the corners facing front to back. Not Napoleon. He made it his own. He turned it sideways. Boom. What do you think of this? Huh? And everybody went, well, that's a little avant-garde. Seems a little out there.
He was the original gangster.
He was. He took his flat brim and just tilted it just enough. Put a little swag on there. Put a little sway on his nasty. I don't even know if that's a phrase, but it sounded like it should be, didn't it? Sounded like it's something that should be said.
If you hadn't pointed out, Esmeralda and I would have been looking it up online.
I saw Esmeralda start to Google it. Sway on his nasty. What did that mean? We'll find out. And maybe trust me, I'm not bailing on this list. We have six more on this hat list. And I still want to hear from people I want to hear from guys. I also want to hear from ladies. Do you like guys in hats? Because I look back and you look back at like the Mad Men era, the 60s and stuff. And John Kennedy is supposedly the guy who killed the hat. Because if you look up to when Kennedy was inaugurated, guys, when they got dressed up, always wore hats. Well, President Kennedy said he didn't want to wear a hat to the inauguration, and he went bareheaded. And that's where people point to, fashion people, because I talk to fashion people on a daily basis. I have a hotline to Milan. I am always talking, especially haberdashers, because, well, we all know my hat game is strong. But he is credited with the downfall of the hat. So, ladies, would you like it if guys started wearing hats again? Like real hats, not baseball caps, but like a nice Homburg or a fedora, something like that. Brian Noonan in for Nick D. All right. You waited for it. If you want to look, go follow along with these hats and you want to see the story, it's on the Facebook page, Brian Noonan Show, right on Facebook. So there you go. You can wear a lovely, see about these historic hats that we're talking about. Because hats complete a look, too, you know? I think that's a wonderful thing. We talked about the Homburg from Winston Churchill. We talked about Napoleon Bonaparte's bicorn. Now we move on to number three, St. Thomas More's bonnet. He was a Lord High Chancellor of England under Henry VIII and was revered as a Catholic intellectual. This would be a good hat for you, Dan. I think you go with the Thomas More bonnet. You have very strong ties to the church. You're a very devout and lovely man. I think you bring the bonnet back. And it's not a bonnet like a pilgrim's. Huh?
I could one day become an intellectual.
I'm not saying you're not now. But if you are, why not dress the part?
Although I think the only way you can wear it is how St. Thomas More does.
Yeah.
With the big pajamas?
No, that's a robe like with an ermine collar and a giant medal.
It's enormous.
It's almost like Flava Flav gave him his jewelry.
It does.
Would you agree? It's kind of like he's wearing a big spinner underneath.
And I'm assuming he's wearing tights.
Probably. And the shoes with the buckle.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring those. Fur? I'm not bringing those back.
Oh, yeah.
That's fur. Yeah. The head's probably hanging down the back.
That looks real warm.
It does. The hat, I'm not. It's almost like a bicorn, but it's got the little. I think it even had the little poofy ball on top.
You could keep food in there.
You could. That's true.
Keep food all around.
I think if you had a hat that doubles. There used to be a bar in Milwaukee called Nacho Mama's where they. And they made news, and not in a good way, and folks, don't kill the messenger, where they had a little person walking around with a giant sombrero that had chips and dip in it. So he was, you know, about table height. And he would, listen, the guy was making a living, and he would come around with this giant sombrero on, and in the middle was the salsa, and then the brim was all chips. And I only bring that up because it seems like a wonderful way to have a party. I'm not saying to use little people to do it, but you could do that yourself. You know, if your arms are long enough, maybe you don't make the middle part of the sombrero the full height. You kind of crop it off a little bit, put a bowl in there. Then you just have it's a perfect tailgate hat. And then you clip two of the beers on the side like those beer can helmets. So your hat is just a buffet. Just wearing a big buffet
like
hat.
A tap.
Yeah. This one everybody knows. Abraham Lincoln stovepipe hat. I don't have to describe that. If you don't know what a stovepipe hat is, I don't know where you've been. Number five, Davy Crockett's coonskin hat. Coonskin cap. It's a cap, not a hat. Did you ever have one of those, Dan?
I think I bought a fake one from Santa's Village.
Yeah.
Kittyland. Yeah.
I had the fake ones. I never had the big one like the kid in Toy Story where it had the actual like fox or raccoon face on it. I never had one of those big full ones. I always wanted one of those big, and maybe it's, I don't know if it's coming on the list. I wanted one of those big Cossack hats, the big giant Russian fur hats to keep me warm.
Those do look nice.
They do look nice and warm, don't they? So the Davy Crockett hat was big. Jackie Kennedy's pillbox hat for the ladies. Maybe you bring that back, Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah. If I wore hats.
You would go pillbox?
That's too cute.
Now, would you do with the little, some of the pillboxes have the little lace coming down as a, you know, to
right.
cover the eyes. Would
yes.
you go? Would you go that far?
No, I would.
Would
I was
you?
Actually looking at, there's Chicago History Museum is doing a speakeasy.
Oh.
It's a fundraiser. And I was looking, thinking about going. And you have, you know, you have to dress like 1920s. And I was thinking, oh, I could wear the thing with the veil and the
yeah.
hat thing and the whole shebang.
That would be cool. I remember when I was a little kid, my grandma and my aunts, they all wore hats. They wore the ladies never went anywhere without a hat. And the bigger and crazier the hat, the better. I would remember my mom going to like women's club lunches at church. And they would have these giant hats on. They'd have, like, peacock feathers coming out of them. I'm like, what is going on with the... Their hat game was crazy strong.
Do you think with crazy. That, though, you can't just wear jeans?
No, you got to gussy it up.
Yeah, you got to look good all the time. That's a lot of work.
There's nothing wrong with having to look good all the time.
It's very tiring.
It is. It does get to be much, but I like it. From the 773, I worked with two guys who wore hats all the time. They both had hat boxes on their desks. Looked great. That's right. Now I just wear sea captain's hats all the time. Good enough for Thurston Howell III or Captain and Tennille. Good enough for me. That's from Dirk de Kop. I like that. See, that's a look. You know, you're going to wear the captain's hat on dry land. Landlocked Dirk wearing his captain's hat. Sean Connery as Bond wore hats in both Dr. No and From Russia with Love. They looked cool. That's from Jeff in Woodhall. So... Some people chiming in with the hats. All right, Jackie Kennedy's pillbox. What else we got on the list? Oh, my gosh, we got to hurry because I don't want to be Guy Fawkes Sugarloaf, which sounds like a tribute band, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody that should be an Almost Famous. I don't know how to describe it. Go to the Facebook page and look at the picture. It almost looks like what you would describe as a cross between a witch's hat and a pilgrim's hat. Would that be accurate? Am I painting a...
Very nice.
The Sugarloaf hat was a popular style during the Stuart period, which, of course, we all know, if you Google it, was 1603 to 1714, the Stuart period. Who says I'm not educational? Everybody. That's British history, of course. Its round, pointed crown resembles the loaves of sugar that were at the time imported from the New World. It is associated with parliamentarian anti-monarchists during the English Civil War. Well, now maybe I bring that back. I would like to be... associated with parliamentarian anti-monarchists.
Will that also be added to your tombstone?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hat game strong and is an anti-monarchist. Husband, father, anti-monarchist. That's how it goes. And in quotes, his hat game was strong. And of course, my tombstone will be shaped as a hat. How else would it not be? I would also I would like it to be a big, beautiful hat.
Can we put chips and dips in it? Would you be mine?
I would not mind that at all. In fact, I will require my only living heirs to at least once a week come and replenish the snacks in my
hat.
How
wonderful would that be? You'd be so sad to go visit
Brian. And then you have treats.
And then, yeah, there's a snack waiting for you.
Don't think I'm not doing this so that my grave takes on the allure of Jim Morrison's grave, that people hunt for it. And have parties there and defile it in all sorts of weird ways.
Well, they'll know because there'll just be a rash of raccoons, squirrels, and other animals and pests eating the snacks, I'm sure.
In death, I become Francis of Assisi. Is that what you're saying? I nourish the earth from which I came. I like it. It's all falling into place. Number eight on the list, Theodore Roosevelt's Panama hat, which a Panama hat is a good hat, but those
now,
are expensive.
And that's not the hat you are wearing?
My new hat?
No, the one you bought on your trip.
It's similar, but mine was just a straw fedora, not a real Panama. I cannot afford a real Panama. I probably, maybe, if I, you know, save up, sell an organ. Maybe I get a nice one. Who knows? All right. There you go. Listen, we promised it. We delivered it. For better or worse, that's how we do here on WGN.